Welcome to the Goddesses of Social Work podcast, hosted by Renita Ray Davis, licensed clinical social worker, board-approved social work clinical supervisor, and facilitator of the Goddesses of Social Work supervision community. Join us as we travel through the social work journeys told by the Goddesses of Social Work community members, past and present, as they make their way toward clinical licensure.
Welcome to the Goddesses of Social Work podcast and our special series highlighting speakers and guests of the upcoming Affirming Our Presence Behavioral Health Conference, June 20th through 23rd, 2024, in Plano, Texas. I am your host, Renita Ray Davis, and I'm here today with Ayanna Robinson, MSW, whose Affirming Our Presence conference topic is Secure the Bag, Travel Social Work 101. Ayanna discusses navigating a career as a travel social worker, the power of networking, and how to successfully secure travel social work contracts. Her mission, to empower fellow social workers to break away from what is conventional and divine what a unique travel healthcare career can do for your professional and personal development. Welcome to the show, Ayanna.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here.
Yay. Ayanna, before you came into social work, what or who did you want to be like when you were growing up?
So there are a few things. I remember when I was a little girl, I told my mom that I wanted to work at a day spa. And I think that I had such a love for self-care at an early age. I would watch her do her beauty regimens and I would mimic what she would do. I would steam my face. I don't even know where I got that idea from. There was no YouTube or anything back then. So I was just always into those type of self-care treatments. And me and my friends, we would do each other's nails. And so I told her I wanted to work at a day spa. And that's actually still on my list of goals.
love that. Yeah.
Because it ties into wellness, right? In all forms, whether that's, you know, emotional, but the physical is important too, right? And then when I was in the seventh grade, I told my mom that I wanted to be a psychologist. And I think around that time, I give a lot of credit to my parents because they've always been very transparent with me about their experiences. You know, we openly discuss our family dynamics and just the things that have happened. So I had an understanding at a very young age just how your dynamics can shape you. You know, your parents' experiences, your experiences, what you go through together collectively as a family, just how much that can really impact your life and why you do the things you do and why you respond to things, you know, a certain way. So I was always fascinated by that. And so in the seventh grade, you know, I let my mom know that I was going to have a career as a psychologist. So that was my start.
That is, I love that. I appreciate your parents too. Because one of the things I keep hearing over, and I think you might be one of the first to say that your parents were open with you about the things that had happened with them and in their family and how that impacted them and your family versus how often we hear, especially in the African American or Black community, that we don't talk about that in our go to church or pray. But the openness led you to realize, you know, in the seventh grade that there's something I can do to be impactful on even a larger scale, not just within my family. And that really comes from your parents. So good job, mom and dad. I love that you wanted to work at a day spa. The fact that your mama kept you up in there, that you're like, that's what I want to do. And now that you're a social worker, and I'm just like, how can we put those two things together? Yeah, especially because the NASW just changed the rules. Well, not rules, I shouldn't say that, but updated the NASW code of ethics to include self-care. And I know self-care is so much more than our hair and our nails, but it sure does make me feel better when those things are done. And so even though self-care is so much more than that, going to those places, especially if I'm going consistently to the same folk, we're having a therapy session in the chair, you know? And so I'm wondering how in the future, how you're going to combine both of those things.
It's so therapeutic. And my mom still reminds me that I said that. So, she won't let me forget. So I'm definitely excited to see how I can merge that with what I'm doing now.
Absolutely. I love that. All right. I'm ready to hear about your social work journey. So I want to hear from the beginning. We heard from the seventh grade you wanted to be a psychologist. However, you're MSW. So talk to me about what your social work journey has been since the seventh grade.
Okay. So around that time, my sister, who's 10 years older than I am, she was a hospice social worker. So I had a pretty good understanding of what social work meant, especially outside of the definitions that some people come to think social work is, right? Child welfare or things like that. I knew that that was a part of it, but I knew there were other parts of social work as well. So my sister was a social worker with hospice. She loved it. And by the time I got to college, I ended up going to Ohio State. She was, one of the people that really encouraged me to get into the social work program. And so I did, and I got my BSW in 2016. And I really did enjoy the program. I had a lot of amazing professors who just were able to really capture what social work is and, what it can mean for you in your career field. I had an amazing field advisor my last year. So I was excited. I felt like the values of social work, especially being in that program, really did align with who I was and what I wanted to do, and where I saw myself going professionally. So that was, the start of my social work career. And I graduated in spring of 2016, and I went on to be a medical case manager for an agency called Equitas Health. And that agency focuses on equitable healthcare, which is, part of the name, specifically for individuals living with or at risk of HIV and AIDS. So that was, my first taste of, case management and what it means. Specifically, we did a lot of advocacy work around just proper medical care and access to medical care. What does that look like? Behavioral health care, housing, all those things that, can really make or break someone's quality of life, especially for such a vulnerable population. And so that was how I got my start. I did that for a year and a half. And I always knew that I would go back to get my MSW. It was just, a matter of timing. So I decided to step out of the box, and I knew that I wanted to get my MSW somewhere out of my comfort zone, away from home, just to really push me, in the way that I knew I needed to be pushed. So I did apply to New York University, and I entered into their 1 year advanced standing program fall of 2018. And thank you. And that was an experience to live as a to have the New York experience for a year, and to be in school and to make new friends from places different than what I was used to have some, amazing professors who have taught everywhere in other NYU locations, such as Paris and London. It was like I almost had to pinch myself because I couldn't believe that I had made it to this point. But I was so glad that I took that chance. It definitely paid off. And I graduated with my MSW in the spring of 2019. So my concentration when I was doing my MSW program was medical social work and hospital social work. And I was an intern at the New York University Langone Hospital as a medical case manager. So that first experience, with Equitas Health definitely helped me along the way because that took me directly into the medical setting. So I did that for the year that I was in school. And then from the moment I graduated, I immediately started applying to medical social work positions. And I ended up at a level one trauma hospital. for 2 years. And then from there, I went on and decided to have a career in healthcare travel.
I love your
Yeah.
social work journey. One, the fact that your sister was a social worker. So your parents just raised a whole bunch of
Two social workers, yeah.
I think that is so cool. And then when you were talking about NYU, my sister's faculty at NYU, and I know Langone. And so being able to have, because it's such a amazing campus, and being able to have that experience, I know it's almost once in a lifetime for some of us. And so, yeah, that is such a. Now, when you did your trauma one hospital experience, was that also in Manhattan?
You mean for my full-time job?
Yeah, once you graduated.
I returned to home to Ohio
Okay.
and I got a job here as a hospital social worker.
Okay. So then I'm hearing you're used to pushing yourself a little bit, right? So you're working in a hospital setting, and I do know a lot about travel social work. I have the honor of supervising several social workers who are travel social workers, and so I'm excited because I love. It started a couple years ago for my community. One person just stepped out on faith and was like, I'm doing it. And then it's like we drank the water. Everybody drank the water.
Exactly.
And so I'm imagining, and I don't want to make an assumption, but you're here in the hospital and you're probably seeing, especially you graduated right before COVID, you're in the hospital setting in a trauma one hospital during COVID. I want to go there first before we move into the travel. What made you decide to become a travel social worker?
So actually, when I was working full time at the hospital, we did have a traveler at the time who was a part of the team, and I had no idea what that meant or anything. I do remember asking her a few questions, like everybody did. We were just so excited to have a traveler, but I never would have imagined that I would end up doing the same thing, just 2 short years later.
Absolutely. I love that. I figured that's how we never realize it. Yeah. But before we move on, I think it's important that, especially those folks who are listening who don't know much about social work, this is an opportunity for a social worker who was in the hospital settings to talk about what your experience was like during COVID, in the midst of the height of the pandemic. And so, what do you remember most about being a hospital social worker during the pandemic?
It was just like nothing I had ever seen. I know at the beginning of COVID, they were really encouraging people to only come to the hospital unless you were in dire need. So the census just dropped so low. When you go into a hospital, you expect to see, so many people, and it just looked like a ghost town. It was, and it's weird to see a hospital look that way. And everybody, of course, was just nervous, unsure of the future and, what that would look like. So it was a really interesting time. It's interesting to look back on it now, but being in the moment, we just didn't know what would come of it or anything like that. But it was definitely a very interesting time.
Thank you for doing that work. I know it was scary too. So thank you for doing and showing up every day when other people were being safer and staying at home. So thank you for doing that. So then there was a traveler, there was a idea, but that doesn't mean that you were going to take the leap. How did you become a travel social worker?
So, I was at the hospital, for 2 years, still in the height of COVID, and I had a friend who is a travel nurse. And I know there was a lot of talk at that time about travel nursing, but I reached out to him and he let me know, well, travel social work is an option as well, or any discipline that's in the hospital more than likely has a travel component, which most of us don't think about if you don't know anybody who, does anything like that. So I talked to him, I asked him the pros and cons about it. Is it worth it? He said, absolutely, I think you should go for it. You're at a point in your life where I think you should. So I decided to start applying for different positions. And I was able to get connected with the recruiter, and he asked about my experience. At that point, I had 2 years of experience covering every single floor in the hospital. You know, there was really no more surprises at that point as a working as a case manager. And so he said, "Well, your experience is great. I think you'd be a good fit." And he started submitting me for different positions, and I ended up interviewing for Santa Rosa, California, which is about 45 minutes away from San Francisco. And I interviewed there, and I love California. You know, I love to travel, so I knew it wouldn't feel like work in my free time. I'm in California, so I decided to go for it. I have family as well that's in San Francisco, so everything just aligned and it just made sense for me to go. And I was able to kind of maneuver and leave my full-time job, just, you know, still on a positive note, and go travel and do this assignment for 3 months from August of 2021 to December of 2021. So that was my very first travel assignment in sunny California.
That is so cool. And I, you know, I'm listening to you. I heard, you know, you already brought your parents up. I don't know, you don't have to answer this question, but I hope you will. What were they thinking? Like, here you are jumping to New York and then from Ohio now, you're jumping to New York, like not even just like, you know, the suburbs, you're in the heart of the city. And then now you're going, you know, to California. Like what were your family's reaction to all of a sudden you have your MSW degree and you're jumping all over the place?
So they were very excited for me, but I think my mom was a little nervous because she didn't know much about it or understand, well, what do you mean it's a travel assignment? What do you mean it's only 3 months? But I had done so much research and it was becoming so popular at that time that I just let her know this is actually a legitimate career. And this didn't become a career just because of COVID. You know, it was in place long before COVID. It's just now we're living in a time where it just gained a lot of popularity. But it's always been a career even before that time. And I think that my parents, they were very happy for me, but I think they know that I just have something in me where I always want to try a new experience or do something new. So I don't think they were very surprised. But I think they were definitely, you know, excited for me. I think once I went to New York, they were kind of like, okay, well, once she sets her mind to do something, then yeah, she's gonna do it.
I love that. And I love that, you know, you started with when you left to do the MSW at NYU, you said, I wanted to challenge myself. And, you know, sometimes we get so comfortable because we're safe and we know it. And here you are pushing yourself to challenge yourself. And as a travel social worker, and we're going to get into it in just a second, every 13 weeks, you're pushing yourself in some fashion. I wanted to go back a little bit to, you know, one of my favorite travelers. She's in the hospital settings, and I do know there's all kinds of travel social work positions, not just medical, but for medical travel social work positions, I have often heard her say 2 years of hospital experience just seems like the best fit for travel social work because you may or may not get trained at the hospitals that you are at. I would love to hear your thoughts about the right amount of hospital experience before you take that leap.
I would say 2 years is perfect because that first year you're just really learning and understanding the hospital system and what it means. And that takes time. I think the second year is when you can build on what you learned in that first year. So I think that 2 years is a perfect amount of time. I know there are others out there who have done it differently, who have gone with a year experience or less. I've been on assignments with other travelers who did not have 2 years of experience, and I watched them struggle, really struggle because they didn't have that foundation or understanding of what hospital case management means. And you try to help as much as you can and explain as much as you can, but we're in such a fast-paced environment where it's a constant cycle, and you have to understand how to prioritize and understand how to plan and understand Medicare and Medicaid and all those things. So 2 years is a great amount of time to have that kind of foundation so that you can go out with just a few days training and understand your job, because once you're there, it is expected that you know what to do. And if you don't know what to do, that you know how to figure it out, or you know how to ask for resources, or be resourceful. So I do think 2 years is a great amount of experience to have before you make that leap.
I agree. And even when you were just talking, I was thinking if you at least have the foundation, because you're in a different city every 3 months, unless you do the extension, you're in a different state or city every few months, not knowing what that state or city's resources are, that's your learning curve versus having to figure out how to work in the hospital setting, being your learning curve. So giving yourself that buffer just seems like an intelligent thing to do.
I mention all the time that basics of it are universal. The assessment, the planning, the providing resources. But like you said, when you go to a new hospital, a new city, you're just learning that particular company's way of doing things. There are little tweaks, but the basis of it is the same. The resources that you're providing or expected to provide, that doesn't change.
Right. I'm curious, we already talked a little bit, Ayana, about the fact that you like to challenge yourself and push yourself. And so one of the things that I'm often curious about, again, getting comfortable in our, homes and spaces and living here for years and years, but every few months, if you don't extend, you're having to move somewhere else. How can you speak to that transition, that constant movement over the last few years for you?
Yes, so that's definitely something you want to consider if you'd like to renew for an additional 13 weeks, or if you want to move on to the next assignment. And it's like a dance that you learn how to do, and everybody's journey is so different. Some people take assignments with the idea that they will be there 6 months. That's a considerable amount of time. That's a lot of time to figure out what your next move may be after that assignment has ended. But then you have people who they like that it's 13 weeks, and 3 months goes by really fast. I can attest to that. So I've done it both ways. I've done assignments where, okay, 13 weeks is up, I'm moving on to the next thing. And then I've done assignments where I'm like, well, I do enjoy the area and I do enjoy being here. So yes, I will extend another 13 weeks and make it 6 months. I don't think there is a right or wrong answer. It's just really depends on what you want to get out of the experience.
Absolutely. Where all have you been since you started travel social working?
So my first one was in Santa Rosa, California. My second assignment was in Detroit, Michigan. And then my third and fourth assignments were actually in the state of Ohio. So I was what you would call a local traveler. I'm here in Columbus. So for those of you who don't know, Cincinnati is about 2 hours south. So I did that assignment as well. And so, yes, California, Michigan, and Ohio so far.
And now that you're back in your home state, not maybe necessarily your home city, were you intentional about coming back to Ohio? Were there some reasons, or is it just these were the opportunities that were available?
It was a combination of both. Yeah, definitely. I knew that if something became available in my home state that I would take it. And it just happened to be available at the right time. So a big part of traveling is just timing. You just You don't know what's going to be available, you know, at what moment. You just have to prepare yourself as much as you can for, you know, the assignments that you want to be on.
What has been your favorite assignment so far?
Definitely California. Yeah, it's just, it was so special because it was the first one. It was so out of my comfort zone. My family was there. I got to visit and spend time with them. So, and I love San Francisco. I had been there before. So just to be there for 3 months and just experience that city, you know, as a local was very special. So the first one is very special to me.
It's like the first kiss.
Yes.
Yes, it sounds great. I'm curious, the last question about this, and we'll move on to the conference questions. I'm all, you know, like I said, in my community of social workers that I have the honor of being in community with, I have about seven that are traveling, and they're all different ages, different ethnicities, different family situations. And I'm wondering, can you speak to, because sometimes people are like, well, you're young and you don't have this or that or the other, but folks are traveling out there with all of the things, right? And so do you mind speaking to what type of social workers are you seeing traveling?
All types. Yeah, like you mentioned, I've seen, you know, younger social workers, but I've also seen social workers who bring their families with them. Their spouse has a remote job and they just come along for the journey. If they have small kids, you know, and a spouse, then, you know, you find accommodations for everybody to just come along and make it an adventure. I've seen social workers live out of an RV and just drive from assignment to assignment and park in an area where they can, you know, live in that RV. So I've seen all types of situations. There's no one description for it. All ages, all races, colors. I've seen such a variety over 2 years. So it doesn't just have one look or one fit.
Absolutely. I think that's what I love about it. It's just seeing everybody out here. And you're absolutely right too, because a decade ago, almost 2015, I remember getting AMN was sending me emails in regards to travel social work. So this happened way before
Exactly.
COVID. This has been going on for a long, long, long time. And so to see that people are getting excited. And I do have one last question. Did you get to go to the TravelCon conference, or are you planning to attend that in the future?
I didn't go, but I found out about it. I think maybe not until my second assignment, and I found out just talking to other travelers, just in conversation, but I have not been, but I would love to go. That's the one in Las Vegas, right?
Yes,
I have not been, but that's on my list. I would love to go.
Yeah, I've heard nothing but good things. I've had some travelers who went and they really loved it and learned a lot. So yeah, but good. All right. So while we're here, thank you for sharing your social work journey. That was so beautiful. Thank your parents for raising social workers. I
You,
love that.
Mommy.
Yes, I love that. All right. As we prepare for the Affirming Our Presence Behavioral Health Conference, why did you decide to submit a speaker proposal? And why do you feel spaces like this conference are necessary?
So I decided to create a proposal for a few different reasons. I actually attended the conference in June of 2023, just as an attendee. I saw it on, I think I saw some posts on Facebook about the conference. And so I made a mental note to register, and I thought it would be something that, you know, I could learn from, just a great networking experience. So I attended last year. I got a chance to meet Jasmine and we got to talking, and it turns out that she has done some travel as well, some healthcare travel as well. So we were able to talk about that and just, you know, bond over our experiences. And the women that I met when I was there, it was everything that I imagined it would be, the conference. I mean, we just had a blast. We had so much fun. I learned so much from the breakout presenters. You know, everybody just had a different topic and a different take on what social work is and what it means. And I just had an amazing time attending last year. So I remember Once that ended, I was on the email list, and I saw that she was looking for submissions for 2024. And when I attended last year, I got so many questions because you tell people that you're a travel social worker, and the questions come like, "What? Well, what is that? And what does that mean? And how do you do it?" So I always had it in the back of my mind that I would, at some point, turn that into an educational experience, just because I got asked about it so much. So when I saw that email, I got a light bulb, and I thought, well, maybe I should just go ahead and make this a presentation and, send it to her. And what's the worst that can happen? So I made a submission, and I sent it over to her, and she loved it. She said that I was accepted, and now I'm here.
Congratulations. I think it's a big deal. One, to take, because you're putting your work out in public. You're like, oh my gosh, I don't know, but I'm just going to do it. And then to get accepted into this amazing conference, to get accepted to be a speaker, I just want to give you a hand clap.
Thank you. I'm so excited. And to answer your other question, spaces like this are important because, if I'm being honest, in the 8 years that I've been a social worker, I've attended other conferences and other networking spaces. But I will be honest, I haven't always been in rooms full of people who look like me. Whether those people are the speakers, the one who is throwing the event, and there have been some experiences where I have felt like an other. And I think it's really important to, go where you're celebrated, go where people who are going to champion you and advocate for you. And I think that Jasmine has created an amazing space, for us to do that with one another. So I'm so excited for that.
Absolutely. That was perfect. Yes. And thank you, Jasmine, because she stepped out on faith too. And her thing is, I'm creating it. Y'all got to come. You got to show up. So I hope that I know that people are going to show up. And I'm looking forward to hearing how well you did on
Thank
in your topic. And in fact, let's talk about your session topic. So we've been talking about you being a travel social worker. And that when you went in 2023, people were asking you questions. Can you give us a brief description of what you're going to be covering?
Of course. So I'm going to, of course, explain what travel social work is. Some people have an idea of what it is, and we spoke about it being, case management and in a hospital setting, but it can be in other settings as well, such as schools and universities that people are not always aware of. What it means to, begin applying for different contracts, what should I be looking for in terms of pay, that sort of thing, how to secure a contract, how to be happy with the pay rate that I'm offered. So all those sorts of things, I really want to break down and make sure that, everybody has an understanding of what it means, because I always say this career, it was a lot of trial and error for me, especially at the time that I came in, right, 2021. But there's so much information, out there now, and it's so much more widely discussed. So I figure, why not take this opportunity to, make sure that everybody has an understanding and that it is something that, we can all do and that we can all go for.
Absolutely. And you know what, Ayana, I love what you said, that your mission is to empower fellow social workers to break away from what is conventional and define what a unique travel healthcare career can do for them, both professionally and personally. I love that. And why do you want social workers to break free from what is conventional?
Because I think that there's a world of opportunities that you will only be able to experience once you step outside of your comfort zone or step outside of what's typical. It's so funny, when I thought about that statement, or as I was writing it, I just thought about all the moments that have led up to, where I am now, and each and every time that I stepped out on faith or did something that I normally wouldn't do, it just led to beyond what I could even imagine. I mean, I would credit even me speaking here with you right now because I decided to travel and I decided to, step out on faith and do something unconventional and just look at the opportunities and what that can lead to when you continue to do that. So I, of course, want to push my fellow social workers to do the same thing.
And I think that is so important. It goes back to, I'm gonna state it like this, and we're gonna get into what is a belief about social work that you had. But when you were talking earlier, you're having a sister who's a social worker. You already were kind of a step above what some people who don't know anything about social work know, that it's way more than just child protection services, right? You knew that there she was having a career, and it sounds like, because hospice can be really fulfilling in some ways, she was having a fulfilling career. And so you then taking the foundation of already being a step above and saying, hey, we can even break free from even in the fulfilling conventional roles and get paid well and be fulfilled and get to see the world. It just feels like this is coming so easily for you.
I wouldn't say easily, but I definitely know how to figure out what's next and where I want to go. And I think it's more so the confidence just to go after something, and it's okay if it doesn't work out, or it's okay if that leads you down a different path, but at least setting the goal and saying, well, I think I want to try this, or I think I'd like to try this as well, or what would a career in this space look like? And then just go after it. I think that's the most important thing, but it's so important to, set goals, just personally and professionally. And I think that is it's something that we champion others to do, the clients that we work with, but do we always have that same energy for our own personal goals and interests, and it takes a lot to even say that and say, well, what are my goals and what I like to do. And I think as social workers, we can advocate for others. And I just want to encourage anybody who is listening to this to be your own biggest advocate as well, and just reap the benefits of what that can mean for
Yes,
you.
we are so good at advocating for others, and it's important that we pour into ourselves first. And I love that you said even saying or getting clear on what your goals are could be a difficult thing, because some people are like just out here doing the next thing, the next expected thing, and it doesn't feel like you've done the next expected thing. That you continue to say it, maybe this isn't expected, but it's what I want to do, and expanding what social work looks like for you.
Definitely.
Yeah. We would love for you to be able to promote your own attributes, businesses, companies, and successes. What you got going on?
So I am on LinkedIn. I'm active on LinkedIn. So please connect with me, message me. It's my first and last name. So AYANNA Robinson, Robinson dash LSW on LinkedIn, so you can connect with me there if you have any questions. I will be coming out with an ebook as well about travel social work. That's another goal that I set, that was inspired, even by being a speaker for this upcoming conference. So I definitely would love to create an ebook and something for people to have that they can just always refer back to, if they decide, that this is a career that they would like to pursue.
I think that's an amazing idea. Congratulations. And we'll make sure that we have your LinkedIn link in your podcast description, and then when the ebook is published, we'll update it to make sure that that link is there so people can grab it. So if they can't get you, they can at least get your book, and if they get you, still get the book, 'cause we support each other.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Absolutely. So Ayana, what is one belief about social work you started on this journey with that you feel has changed the most?
I would say that I always felt, even though, like I mentioned, I had an understanding of social work, that it was beyond what a lot of the public believes, you know, that we do. I would still say I was pretty limited in my understanding. So I may have thought that we social workers are only in direct practice or private practice, right? So as I've grown and as I've networking and speaking to other people just over the years, I've realized that social workers are everywhere. We're in research, we're in public speaking, we're in being an author, we're in tech spaces. I've met so many people who have done, you know, some unique things that I didn't even realize we could do. So my definition of social work, you know, has been expanded over the last few years as well.
Mine too. I was just, when you just said that, I was thinking on Wednesday night, I was talking to a social worker and found out that the sheriff in her county is an MSW. I was like, oh, wow, that is so cool. So we are absolutely everywhere. We really are. I love that one. Oh, this has been such a great conversation. Thank you so much for saying yes. And I'm so excited about your session topic, but we are getting to our final questions. And so I'm curious, what are you looking forward to the most from attending the conference? And what do you hope attendees will gain from attending in your session or the conference in general?
So what I'm looking forward to most is connecting with, you know, some of the women that I met last year. Like I mentioned, it was an amazing time. And I'm looking forward to meeting, you know, some new faces as well. I spoke about the importance of being in a space where we can champion for one another and we can be each other's biggest cheerleaders. And I'm just so excited to be in a room full of women where we can be our biggest cheerleaders and women who are amazing and smart and talented and learning from the other speakers and learning from the panelists and just expanding my knowledge. I'm looking so forward to that. I'm looking forward to sharing what I know and then having others share what they know with me, you know, just so we can all continue to work towards our goals and just do things beyond our wildest dreams.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you know, I love that Jasmine has gotten a lot of the CU's national level. So, you know, you're in Ohio, the conference is in Texas. People are coming from Illinois. They're coming from all over the United States, and you'll be able to take these CU's back to your home state to be able to use. So, she's made it really accessible for everybody. So, I love that you're excited. I'm excited too. Ayana, do you have any final words of wisdom or advice that you would like to leave our audience with today?
So my motto on the conference flyer, if you look at it, my motto is life begins at the end of your comfort zone. And I really just want to emphasize, you know, how important it is to just step outside of the box and do something that you normally wouldn't. You know, like I mentioned, there have been definitely some key moments just over the last few years where I'm like, wow, that really just opened up a whole new set of opportunities or a set of whole of new experiences. And I just want to stress that to whoever is listening, you know, there is something out there for you that you haven't even realized yet. It's just a matter of timing, you know, it's a matter of pushing yourself, it's a matter of being in a room of people that you don't know, that you can just network with and introduce yourself to and just be open to new opportunities. I would say that's so important, and I think that can just be life-changing. So that would be my last words for anybody.
Perfect. And thank you for being open to this opportunity of coming on the Goddesses of Social Work podcast. You've been
Close.
a joy. Yes, I love it.
I have enjoyed our conversation so much. Thank you for having me. Thank you.
And thank your parents.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Goddesses of Social Work podcast. We are glad you were here. If you like this episode, please come back to hear more stories of the journeys through social work, and please leave us a review on Apple or Spotify. See you next time here on the Goddesses of Social Work podcast.